that you may live, and the Lord will be with you. Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. At that time, Jesus left Samaria for Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his native place. When he came into Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, since they had seen all he had done in Jerusalem at the feast. For they themselves had gone to the feast. Then he returned to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. Now there was a royal official whose son was ill in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, who was near death. Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "You may go, your son will live." The man believed what Jesus said to him and left. While the man was on his way back, his slaves met him and told him that his boy would live. He asked them when he began to recover. They told him, "The fever left him yesterday, about 1 p.m. The father realized that just at that time Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he and his whole household came to believe. Now this was the second sign Jesus did when he came to Galilee from Judea. The Gospel of the Lord. The biblical concept of a new heavens and a new earth is found in both the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. But each testament has a very different emphasis. Isaiah chapters 65 and 66 speak of a new heaven and a new earth, but clearly it is referring to an earthly manifestation of that newness. The Old Testament really lacked any sense that God would right all wrongs in the next life, after death. Rather, the Jews believed that all would be set straight here and now, on earth, with the restoration of the Davidic kingdom. Try to read the Old Testament through the lens of earthly fulfillment of these ancient prophecies. That was their original sense, what scripture scholars call the literal sense of scripture. The New Testament speaks of a new heavens and a new earth in the second letter of Peter and in Revelation chapter 21. But the stress of this second half of scripture, the New Testament, is decidedly different. It is otherworldly. That is one reason Jesus becomes so perturbed in the Gospels with the Jews seeking a sign. Because their desire was for an immediate earthly good, food, bodily healing, more wine, rather than waiting patiently for heavenly goods. Jesus wants them to turn their eyes more toward heaven. Be careful, though, not to take this emphasis too far. The two testaments are only emphasizing one side or the other, earth or heaven. They are not excluding either side. The best view is always inclusive, both a new heaven and a new earth. Scott Hahn once shrewdly observed, "Don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good." That would be the concern of the Old Testament. If we flip that comment around, we would hit the highlight of the New Testament. That would say, don't be so earthly minded that you're no heavenly good. In your Christian experience, especially when you read the sacred scriptures, do you tend to emphasize one more than the other? Earth more than heaven, or heaven and forget about earth? If you ever visit the Vatican, be sure to get a glimpse of arguably one of the most famous paintings of the Renaissance painter Raphael. In the antechamber, the room you walk through before you get into the stunning Sistine Chapel, you will find one wall that is covered with a painting by Raphael called The School of Athens. In the center of this Athenian crowd stands Plato and Aristotle, the central figures in the whole history of philosophy. Interestingly, Plato's hand is pointing upward to the heavens, while Aristotle, Plato's student's hand, is pointing downward to the earth. In his own artistic way, Raphael taught that the school of Athens also saw the need for a new heavens and a new earth, with a proper emphasis, without any exclusion. I believe the best way to balance both heaven and earth, and that is why we read the whole Bible, is to begin with our own hearts. The first place we see the sprouts of the seeds of the new heavens and the new earth is not in heaven or on earth, but in the human heart. I saw those sprouts last night at the youth mass here at IC. That mass was packed with people. They were standing three deep in the back. Halfway through the mass, Deacon Charlie had to go to the sacristy and retrieve more hosts for consecration and communion. We were worried we might run out. We had two special groups present last night, 114 teenagers at the end of their confirmation retreat, not all from IC, and 20 people from our RCIA class. After communion, I sat for a moment with my eyes closed, but my eyes of faith were wide open. In that crowd, I beheld the beginnings of the new heavens and the new earth. Everyone in that mass believed their true home was heaven, but they also realized deeply that they must make a difference while they walk in this world. Every heart, including mine, was touched, however inchoately, to be both heavenly minded as well as earthly good. That is the kingdom of God. Praised be Jesus Christ.